picked up with this bounteous form of love and a good look at forgiveness in the last episode. It is important, so deepening life of prayer. It's important that we spend time with the Lord in prayer. Right. Sometimes it's at the end of life we realize this, but right, when's the time to plant an oak tree 20 years ago? Okay, sometimes all we have is now, but doing it starting today, yes, this has come up frequently because we're not entitled to tomorrow. No. We really aren't. And I've known, and depending on your profession, you can know quite a number of people who thought that things were going to be just fine tomorrow, and they're gone. And so that's true. We're not entitled to it. So St. Teresa of Lisieux would say, for me, prayer is a search of the heart. It's a simple look towards heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy. See, thanking for the wound, thanking for the cross. St. John Damascene, prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God. So various vocal prayers, reading a sacred scripture, meditating it. So there's, adoration of the Lord before his presence in the Blessed Sacrament, going to Holy Mass, which helps prepare us for eternal life, having a prayer space, you know, in your home. So when we humble ourselves and spend time with God, we open our hearts to receive his love, mercy, and truth. And so there's some things there to consider. And then the prayer. Outside, of course, the Holy Mass, the most powerful one would be the Holy Rosary. Then the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which we mentioned earlier. It's Mercy Sunday. Then the prayer to St. Joseph, patron saint of holy death. Prayer to the Holy Spirit. There's some prayers recommended by another exorcist, Monsignor Rossetti, Father Chad Ripinger's book. So there's the bulk of a resource. So you can just see what picks, speaks to you. Yes, and the sacramentals, miraculous medal, as we said earlier. Okay, so I think we're there. Final thoughts, Sarah?
Well, you can't. I mean, nobody wants to go somewhere where they have no knowledge of where they're going. First of all, right? I mean, so because you're either going to be afraid to go, or you're not going to feel compelled to go, right? I mean, the reason why, you know, people like to go to Europe is because they've had some foreshadowing, right? They've seen somebody have shown them beautiful pictures, or somebody has told them about some story, but they've entered into some relationship prior to the journey, right? And we have to look at our own future travel, shall we say, right? Our own future trip, right? Which is into leaving a temporal world to enter into an eternal, potentially. I mean, you have two options, right? An eternal happiness or eternal suffering, right? Those are really fundamentally your choices. And, you know, I mean, to me, like when you present it so clearly, like eternal suffering or eternal joy, I don't know, it seems like a no-brainer to me. But I mean, there are people who cannot believe, right? They just refuse to ascend to the fact that there could be such a thing as eternal joy. And so they would rather just take the chances and risk eternal suffering. But because we are a hope-filled people, right? Grace gives us hope, right? Baptism, all of these sacramentals give us a renewal of hope. The more that we enter into that life of prayer with God, right? The more that we know him in the now, the more profound and possible will be our relationship with him in eternity. So, you know, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from entering into that relationship with him? You know, a good morning, a good night, and I love you. Just small little movements of the heart, you know, that the church used to call ejaculations, right? That she would teach us how to just offer up these profound little tiny prayers of thanksgiving or utterances. You know, I love you, Our Lady, you know, be near to us, you know, Saint Joseph, be with me at the hour of my death. Like all of these little tiny prayers that are just open to you at any moment I think that they both prepare you for that journey, but they also give you a hunger to be there with them, right? Because you will begin to know, and once you begin to know, you'll begin to love, and that love will draw you deeper into a longing for that final gift of joy.
True. As you were sharing, two thoughts came to me to get comfortable with the concept. Is that you can take your children or your grandchildren to a cemetery, and you start to teach them to take them to funerals. So they get taught from an early age what to do. They get comfortable with what it's about, and you really don't want to have grown children who have never before been around the trials of declining health. That's really a bad time to be introduced to that. And then I was at a class, and a lady, a good mother, said, do we have to be buried in a Catholic cemetery? And a deacon, a very wise deacon, said, when you are visiting, those monuments are for the living. So when you go to a secular cemetery and it's all flat, and there's no monuments to be seen, what is the catechesis that's going on for those around? Because, right, not everybody's in the same place spiritually, in different journeys. And maybe you have someone who's really formed, but, you know, the world's fallen out. They're in the midst of spiritual desolation, as to borrow a term from Ignatius of Loyola. And those monuments are there for you and I in the living to fortify ourselves. So I do think to be buried, if possible, and not everything is possible, but if we have a choice to be buried in consecrated ground surrounded by images of our faith, is entirely helpful for those who might visit. And they're not going to visit if they haven't done that previously, generally, unless, of course, they come to the faith and then they realize, you know, they open the door to the grand ballroom and they go, oh my gosh.
Right, yes. It's very true.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that can't be, you know, that can't be encouraged more, to just go to cemeteries, particularly Catholic cemeteries, because they're consecrated holy ground. You know, the people who are there have been prayed over and have been prayed for, have received the graces of the church. And, you know, our Lord can't be outdone in generosity. So when you go, it is a corporal work of mercy, right? To bury the dead, and a spiritual work of mercy to pray for the dead. Those are, they're grace generators. It's like I was saying before, you know, love a child is a love multiplier. Visiting the departed and praying for the dead, that is a grace generator, right? It will just, I honestly believe that when I was a little child, and I don't even know what it was, maybe one of the sisters that was at my Catholic school had really encouraged that we pray for the dead. You know, so I, and my friends and I, there were a number of cemeteries that were near enough to our house. And I remember we would just go there on just random weekdays, you know, and we would walk around the different grave sites. We would always try and find the grave site that looked like it hadn't been visited in 100 years, whatever, right? And we would gather up all the little flowers that were just kind of strewed around, and we would put them on this person's grave, and we would pray for them. And I firmly believe that every single one of those souls that I prayed for without any awareness at all in my childhood is an ardent friend of mine today, and they are responsible for so many untold graces that I received today. I am 100% certain of it. I mean, and who wouldn't want to do good? Like, you're in heaven, right? I mean, like, that is going to be your whole joy. You think of Saint Therese, I want to spend my eternity, you know, sending down a shower of roses. What else does she have to do but good, right? I mean, so make friends with good people, and the best people are the ones who have died in the state of grace and are in the beatific vision with our Lord. And who, yeah, I mean, and then you think of the people in purgatory. I mean, how happy can they be when you are the one who says that prayer or offers up that plenary indulgence that moves them from purgatory into the beatific vision? I mean, boy, I mean, they are ready to just shower down graces on you.
I'm going to leave it there, because that's the absolute truth. Absolute truth. Well, my friends, that finishes off the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Father's Day with St. Joseph, and preparing for eternal life. And till the next time, my friends, fides, the Gratio. Oh, then.